Good morning, Central Baptist Church, and welcome to this Sunday, April the 19th, Sunday morning message. We're glad you're with us. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you. If you've got your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn shortly to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I want us today to kind of pause as we've been in the throes of this pandemic. For around a month now, been times that we haven't had a chance and an opportunity to meet. And I know that there have been a lot of different perspectives that folks have had when it comes down to thinking about COVID-19 and how it's affecting each and every one of us. It's put us in a state of discomfort. I don't know of anybody that I have talked with during this time that has said that everything has gone, you know, as planned and that everything's just easy. There's been discomfort in a lot of different ways, and that includes the church. Today, I want us to look at something, though, because I believe with all of my heart that the coronavirus is doing some really, really positive things for the church, even though they feel very uncomfortable at this point. There are some things I want us to think about today, not only in the life of the church, but also our lives as we consider our walk with the Lord. See, one of the potential effects that that COVID-19 has had on Christianity as a whole is it's doing something to what is often referred to as consumer Christianity, at least for the short term. It's one of the things that's going to kill off consumer Christianity. See, while there's certainly plenty for us to sit back and complain about, and I've heard a lot of them, from a lot of different people, probably been doing a little bit of that myself. But when we think about all the things about how coronavirus is wrecking our lives, it's wrecking the economy, it's unraveling things within our world, the stock market is going crazy. You know, it's just been one of those things that happened, and it happened so quickly. It was almost like flipping the switch. You know, one day it was business as usual, the next day everything had changed. So how are we supposed to feel about that as Christians when we begin to think about what's taking place along the way with this? You know, how is it that we can celebrate COVID-19 in regard to our Christian walks and in regard to the church? I want us to look at a passage out of Matthew chapter 16 in just a moment. It's a very familiar passage, but I think it's one that applies greatly to what's taking place. And then we want to talk about what coronavirus has done in a positive way towards our Christianity, or should be towards our Christianity, as well as our church. Look with me, if you would, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. We're going to begin reading at verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 24. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." Let us pray together. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity that we have to be able to gather. Lord, even though we're in small groups, we're in our homes, we're with family, maybe with a friend, but Lord, I thank you for at least the platform of technology that you've given us to be able to gather around your word. I pray, Father, that you will speak to hearts today. Lord, I pray that you will help us to evaluate our walk with you. I pray that you will help us to evaluate ourselves as a church, not just the building, but the body. Lord, I pray that during this time, you will reach hearts from so many different places and so many different avenues. Lord, I pray right now that you'll use me during this time. Speak through me as only you can. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was talking about how the coronavirus has definitely turned our lives upside down. But what are some of the positive things? You know, it's really, really easy to find the negative, but I want us to think for just a few moments about the positive things as far as our walk with the Lord, as well as how we function as a church. I mean, I know when we sit back now and we think about the church, we've pretty much been, as a lot of people would say, dead in the water for around a month now. We haven't been able to come together. We haven't sat in services together. We haven't praised the Lord together in the venue in which we know. So this coronavirus pretty much in one day changed all that. But what are the positive things? We believe that the Word says that all things work together for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. So how is this something that's going to be a positive in our individual walks as Christians? How is it going to be something that's going to be a positive in regard to our church? Well, I believe that the coronavirus has done several things for us in our walk with the Lord as well as our church. And one of the things that it's done is that it has stripped the church of excesses. See, there's not going to be any friendly phone booths. There's not any polished choir singing. There's not a polished brass section that's working on things right now. We weren't able to gather together last week during Easter and talk about how He is risen, and He is risen indeed, not corporately. We couldn't do those things yet corporately. We're not seeing any lavish children's ministry. We're not able to see our greeters out front. We're not able to sit back and have our coffee and kind of commune with one another. But when you think about it, those are things that are excesses. None of the things that we have that normally entice, seekers or maybe occasional churchgoers, none of that was there. None of that's there now as we speak. Months of planning, weeks and sometimes months of planning to be able to bring off one of the best services that we've ever done, which is what our staff works diligently to do. And by the way, let me say, there's nothing wrong with putting your best effort forward in service to the Lord. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But what happens is we do this so that we can provide something creative and attractive. Again, nothing wrong with that. But why is it that we do the things that we do? Has our perspective shifted? As I think about this, there are churches and there are pastors everywhere who really have been depressed about not being able to have the opportunity to get together and do the events, but they shouldn't be. We shouldn't be in a mode of depression like that. Why? Why? Because the coronavirus has rapidly taken away all of the excesses of the church. We use an expression, all the bells and whistles that we have become accustomed to, all of the nice-to-have things that we have actually turned into must-have things. And when you take all the bells and whistles away, when you strip the church down of all those things, let me ask you this question. What is left? What is there that's left? Well, let me tell you what's left. What's left is Jesus. What's left is the Word. What's left is community. Although we're not able to come together, we still have community outreach. We're still communicating with each other. We've been talking for the last 4 months about how important community is. Although it's been challenged, we still have community. What's left? Prayer. Prayer has no boundaries. We have continued to pray for one another. We have continued to seek the Lord's face and intercede, on behalf of people who have asked us to pray for them, even though it hasn't been in person. You don't have to be in person to pray for somebody. The Lord hears and knows, and He answers those prayers. We have singing. I've heard of some folks that as they've sat around their home, and maybe even like you've done this morning, you've had an opportunity to sing. I know God hasn't gifted me in that particular area. If He did, I'd be singing for you. But I can't. All I can do is exercise the talent and ability that the Lord has given me. But I know that there's singing that's going on. So essentially, when you strip down all the nice-to-haves, what we're left with are the essentials. Remember those things? Jesus, the Word, community, prayer, singing. Those are the things that remain, and they will never, ever go away. Why? Because we are Christ's body, and we will live eternally with Him. Things suddenly changed in how we do church, but what we are still remains as vibrant and ever. We are the body of Christ. That will never change. So, what if God, and I want to kind of pose this question to you this morning. What if God, in His strange wisdom, His infinite wisdom that you and I can't begin to understand, what if God is pumping the brakes on the American church today? Not really pumping him, he's actually slammed on him. What if this is something that God has done to put the church into the mode of simplicity, to strip away all of the non-essentials, that we might have a renewal of what our fundamental identity is as the people of God? Because when you think about it, we're accustomed to getting in a rut. We're accustomed to doing things in a certain way. And for each and every one of us, I will promise you that as we have evaluated this, We have wondered, you know, where is the church? Where is our walk? Where is our Christianity, as it were? And it's been a very good question for us to ponder as the Lord has put us in a predicament where we have to. Even though he has stripped down all of the non-essentials, we still have the essentials. You know, among this slamming on the brakes that God may have done, that's going to rid people, including many, many pastors, of the notion that church has to be comfortable and it has to be a consumer-friendly type place in a market that is already overcrowded with entertainment. You know, a lot of times people are trying to place church in the same venue as entertainment. And we feel like if we do that, then we're going to draw more people. And folks, I'm here today to tell you that God never meant for the church to be one of those things that is considered to be a consumer-friendly place. See, in the COVID-19 pandemic and the COVID-19 quarantine, the awkward, unpolished computer church experience will decidedly not be the easiest or the most comfortable for people. I know that within our church, we've had to take those opportunities to show, you know, some of our membership how to even get on the computer to be able to view a service, you know, to be able to be a part of even what is being put out there. It's not polished up. It's bare bones. It's plain and simple. But let me make you a promise. Jesus is here. Yeah, let me make you a promise. Prayers are heard from my living room, from your living room, from your workplace. Prayers are still being heard from, you know, the office at churches. We've had time to be able to come together and lift up prayers. So it's not about the I just go to church experience, which brings me to another point that I believe COVID-19 has done to help us to refocus our efforts as Christians and as a church. COVID-19 has blown up the notion of a Sunday-only faith. You know, for those that just attend church on Sunday, or those who are just occasional attenders that just go on Sunday morning, COVID-19 has definitely been a game changer. Why has it been a game changer? Because you haven't had that part of your thought to be spiritual identity anymore. See, in a season when the Sunday experience has become drastically reduced to a Facebook video or a YouTube video or a Zoom or WebEx Sunday school meeting, Christians are forced to consider what their faith really, really looks like when going to church isn't a part of it. Think about that for a moment. You know, there are people, see, the crisis is a great opportunity for us as believers to think anew about what it means to be distinctly Christian every day of the week, not just on Sunday, in our workplaces, in our families, of where we go. What does it look like to be noticeably Christian in a world where the previously most conspicuous thing about your faith identity was going to church? How many times have people said, you know, well, tell me about your faith. Well, I go to church. When people look at you, they might know that you go to church, but some people have hung their hat. They've hung their Christianity. They've hung their walk on the fact that they attend a church. If that's you today, let me put it to you this way. You have been in a tailspin for the past month because you haven't been able to attend church. Going to church is gone for a temporary amount of time. We don't know how long this may last, but for those who have been just an occasional attender, or your identity of Christianity has been wrapped up in going to church, your foundations have really been shaken. And you're sitting there with your head spinning, wondering, where do I go from here? See, I believe that the coronavirus has been something that has challenged us to look at that. I pray that it is challenging you to do so as well if you fall into that particular category. Demand has never, ever been greater for Christians to be Christians more than in just a Sunday type of a way. You know, God didn't call us just to be spiritual and to commune with him just simply on Sunday morning. Or even if you're one of those that goes Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, it's more than that. It's about your identity in Christ that you carry with you 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, wherever you may go. So there is good news. Yet when we think about these type things, when we think about what's taking place with the coronavirus, the good news is that there are already folks who are stepping up to live out their faith in the midst of this crisis. You know, there, as we progress in the next few weeks, maybe in the next few months, there are going to be more people that are in your sphere of influence that are going to be touched by this disease. There's going to be fear that is going to sweep through the community. It's fear that's going to sweep through maybe even your own family. And the need for Christians to step up to service is going to be even greater than it has ever been before. We have seen that taking place in our church. We have seen folks that are willing to do what it takes, even in the midst of dangerous pandemic, to serve others. I want to tell you, it has been just astounding to me to see the number of folks who have reached out to their neighbors, who have reached out to their Christian brothers and sisters along the way of this pandemic. You know, when we've called, I've heard so many people who've said, you know, I've heard from my neighbor, I've heard from my deacon, I've heard from our staff, and what a joy that's been. They've been getting numerous calls a day. There are those on the front lines, those who are finding unique ways to do ministry in the middle of this pandemic. I'm just so proud of our church. I want to say that right now. So proud of each and every one of you for looking for creative ways to continue to serve with the talents and ability that God has given you. See, we can all pray for the long-term result of this crisis to be a renewed passion for Christ in our heart and in our life, for a renewed passion for Christ within our church, and that his followers will live and love and walk in their neighborhoods and walk into their workplaces and walk into their quarantine communities in such a fashion that we represent the hands and the feet and the voice and the care and the love of our Lord and Savior, not just on Sunday at church, but 7 days a week. I also believe that the coronavirus pandemic is challenging Christians to do something that's very, very tough in this day and age, and that is to give without getting. One of the major concerns for churches and pastors all over the United States and all over the world, for that matter, is they're worried about what's going to take place with giving. You know, if people quit giving, what is there going to be to come back to? Is there going to be something there? See, when we begin to look at this particular challenge, I want to just report to you from our front, the front that we know of Central Baptist Church. You have done an outstanding job in continuing to give, because you realize that your giving is not just to take care of things like paying the bills and the lights and the salaries and those sort of things. But yet giving is truly an act of worship for you. That's what the Lord expressed to us. Now, we don't have time today, but if this is something you're struggling with, I want to encourage you to go over to the book of Malachi chapter 3 and read that. That is the only place I know in the Bible where God gives a challenge. He says, you try me. I'm allowing you to put me to the test, that when it comes to your giving, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that you won't even be able to handle. You see, for consumer Christians, you know, especially giving might be a tough, tough area. And the reason why is because we're taught this transactional type of ideal in society today. That if I'm paying for something, or if I'm giving money for something, then I should be getting something in return. And through this past 4 weeks and through this past pandemic quarantine, that's not the case. There haven't been any polished, top-notch worship services to come to. There haven't been any youth meetings to be able to physically attend or physically come to. There haven't been any coffee or donuts or cookies or any uplifting music, only a makeshift service on a computer screen just like you're watching today. But see, if churchgoers stop giving just because of a transactional expectation, then it just simply exposes you as a person who is a consumer Christian. You know, giving only because you get, but that's not how it should go. See, none of this less than ideal new normal for church shouldn't be an excuse for us to stop giving just because you're not being served as you feel like that you ought to be. Now, I know that there are people who are tuning in to our Sunday broadcast. Actually, I've seen states from Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, Georgia, Tennessee. I've seen folks tuning in weekly to our broadcast. Now, if you belong to a church and maybe you're tuning in to us simply because you don't have a means, or your church doesn't have a means to broadcast or anything, I want to encourage you, rally around your church, support it. Be the person that's going to stand in the gap. Make sure that you're not one of the transactional, consumer-minded Christian people that says, well, if we're not going, then I don't need to support. Because remember, your support is not just support. It is an act of worship. It is an act of something that God is wanting to bless you with. Now, it may not be a check in a checkbook, but I will promise you this. The Lord's got a way of making the tires last longer, the car go further on a tank of gas, making that furnace last longer than it should have. He has ways, and he says, I'm challenging you. The Lord says, try me and see what I will do for you if you will remain faithful to me. So think about that. Are you a transactional type Christian? See, church is not about a consumer being served. It's about Christians serving one another and specifically building up the body, even when it's costly, even when it's inconvenient, and even when it is uncomfortable. Folks, I want to promise you today that God never said that church was going to be comfortable, but we've got comfort in our mind. I've often shared this with our church. I said, they call that chair a lazy boy for a reason. They don't call it a worker boy. And I think sometimes what we've done is we have come to all the things that we feel like are must-have and conveniences in Christianity. And God said, that's not the way that it should be. I do believe with all of my heart that he has slammed on the brakes in the American church so that we might be awakened to these things, not only within our church, but also within our individual walks. You know, have we gotten to the point where it's got to be comfortable, where we've got to have the coffee, where we've got to have the carpet? What if we didn't have air conditioning? And what if we didn't have heat? Would we still meet if we were stripped away of all the modern conveniences? Even though that's taking place now, I want to remind you again that we still have the basic things, the essentials of what we need to go forward. That's Jesus, his word, the body of Christ, prayer, singing. Those are the things that the Lord said, we put too much emphasis on all these other things. It is time to get back to the basics. Yes, this less than ideal new norm for church shouldn't be an excuse for us to stop giving to the church. But I believe God has blessed us with discomfort. I believe that this is a moment and an opportunity for true, faithful generosity to be tested of the body of Christ. See, Christians should keep on giving in so many ways, not just of your money, not just of your tithe, but also of your time and of your talent in areas that we can do so even in the midst of a pandemic. See, the generosity of God's people for one another will be even more critical in the days that lie ahead. Yes, I believe that God has given us a very, very special gift in the midst of this pandemic. It's called the gift of discomfort. Believers need to resist the allure to be comfortable. We need to resist the allure to be consumer Christians in a consumer society. Instead, we need to understand that faith is something that's going to be costly. You know, to walk with the Lord and to be a disciple is going to be inconvenient. To be a true disciple, as the word tells us, is going to be something that's going to be uncomfortable. You know, the truth is, following Jesus was never, ever designed to be easy. See, the COVID-19 epidemic is forcing us not only to remember this truth, but to live it. And you're experiencing that each and every day of your life. We are living in a completely different world than we were 30 days ago. You know, it's shaking our foundations. It is shaking us swiftly out of our complacency. It is taking us from all the things that we knew that were so comfortable, that were even consumer driven. And it is stripping it down so that we are driven to rely on and to cling to the only thing that we really have, which is God Almighty, our maker and our provider. He's gotten our attention with a tremendous attention getter. Will we embrace this as we go forward? You see, I think too many times we can be in complain mode, where we're too busy complaining about what's going on around us to realize that God is trying to do something incredibly big in our lives. He is trying to stop all the nonsense and get us back to the basics of what being a true disciple, a true church, and a true follower is really all about. In the midst of this crisis, I pray that we will become a more resilient and a more durable church, that we will be strengthened in the fires of discomfort, you know, and we'll have this renewed sense of dependence upon our Lord and Savior. Yeah, I thought about this. I thought about how the Lord is sifting the church, and I thought about on several of our trips, mission trips to Cuba that we've had, where we would take either sand or gravel and we put it on this sifting tray and we just shake it back and forth. And I believe God is just shaking us back and forth like that shaker, so that all of the good stuff comes through, but all the junk, all the stuff that's no good, is being filtered out. It's being kept on the top of that screen and it is being discarded. And I believe with all of my heart that the Lord is sifting His church. The Lord is sifting His children, that He might rid us of all the junk that hinders us from being exactly what He wants us to be. I think He wants us to be back to the basics, to the things that really matter, the only things that we really have, the only message that we really have. As I was driving down the road the other day and I thought about COVID-19, and for some odd reason, it just hit me to use COVID as an acronym, the COVID, and the thing that crossed my mind very, very quickly was Christ offers victory in discipleship. That's COVID. I pray that that will be a marching order for us as we go forward, that we will truly embrace Christ offers victory in discipleship. We've been talking a lot about what discipleship really is. One who follows Jesus, one who wants to be in His footsteps. There are many stories that I could tell you from the Bible right now that talk about what His disciples went through that was uncomfortable. It was inconvenient and at times very, very costly. He is calling us to that same sort of thing. Again, I pray that each and every one of us will understand what it is that God is trying to do in our lives individually as well as in our church. This morning, I want to ask you, have you given your life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is there that tug in your heart right now? Has there been that time when you have confessed, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Without You, I will spend all of an eternity in hell. But Father, today I want to give You my life. Yeah, I feel Your calling. If you need Jesus today, I simply want to ask you, just pray this in your heart. Lord Jesus, forgive my sin. Save my soul. Help me, Lord, to live like You want me to. Lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you had that opportunity to pray that prayer, it's not just as simple as just praying a prayer, although I say that it is. But the Lord said this. He says, not only those who call on me, but those who do the will of the Father. That's the discipleship part. If you trusted Christ today, I want to encourage you. Go to our website, send me an email, a text message, some way. Let us know that you trusted Christ. I promise we won't sell your email or anything like that. All we want to do is take an opportunity to help get you on a track of discipleship where you can grow in your faith as you follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I also want to remind our folks of a couple of things. We have our leadership team this morning, and we will be giving you updates on that tomorrow. We usually try to do that by way of a video as well as written through our social media pages and our email. So we'll update you on this morning's message in regard to that. Also, I want to remind you, we have a couple of four or five Sunday school classes that meet on Sunday mornings. Kelly Joyce's Sunday school class meets. Mike Nelson's Sunday school class meets. Tony Price with College and Career meets. Lori Cole meets with our middle school students, and John Folsom meets with our high school students by way of either WebEx or Zoom. If you would like to be a part of those classes, it doesn't matter if you never have before, they invite you to be a part of their class. You can call us at the church office, although today is Sunday. You can, during the regular business hours, you can let us know. Or if you've got my number or information, contact one of us. What they'll do is they will send you an email. All you'll have to do is click an email, and you can participate in those Sunday school classes. What a great, great time. I'm so grateful for these men and women who are working diligently to continue to keep the church moving forward. What a blessing. I attended a couple of those classes last week and plan to do so this morning as well. So just a reminder, if you want to do that. Also, want to remind you that your continued support of your church, as well as your tithes and offerings, are much appreciated. I can't express the thanks and the rallied support that you all have done at Central Baptist Church. God has blessed in an incredible way. I want to remind you again that we have several ways in which you can give. You can do so by going to our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. There's a giving tab there. You can mail it to P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina 27310. Or you can drop it by the church during regular business hours. We simply ask that if you're going to do that during regular business hours, that you do so before Wednesday at noon. That's when our deadline is, so that our counters can come and make sure that the deposit is done in a proper way. So once again, I'm going to ask you as we end, be sure to support your church. If you're not a member of our church, be sure to give through your church's ways of giving to be able to support them. If you're one of our folks, I want to encourage you to do that. I will ask the blessing upon the offering, and we will look forward to seeing you again this coming Wednesday night for our Bible study. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for all the lessons that you're trying to teach us. I pray with all of my heart that we will be diligent to learn those lessons. And Lord, that they won't be lessons that would just be for the right now, but Father, that they will be lessons that we will carry for the rest of our lives. Help us, Father, to be stripped of all the nice to have things and cling to the must have essentials that you provide to us through your word, through your son, and Lord, through just the many venues of being the church, not just going to the church. Help us, Father, to learn the lessons that you want us to learn during this time of pandemic. Father, we're getting ready to give. Your word tells us that you will bless us and that you will bless us indeed. You have blessed our church. Thank you for such a giving, giving church. Lord, I pray that you will bless this offering, bless the gift as well as the giver. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you could, if you're going to give electronically, just go on over, do that. We'll see you guys Wednesday. God bless you. We love you.